Welcome back here on Buff Talk here on October the 16th. Cal Freeman here for KWKR 99.9 The Rock. If you're looking to come out to Old Chicago tonight, big sports games going on. Philadelphia Phillies are about to get underway in the NLCS against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Monday Night Football is about to get underway between the LA Chargers and the Dallas Cowboys. Andrew Marino just came on, is leaning with the Cowboys tonight. I'm kind of 50-50 on it. I've kind of been 50-50 on it all week. Now it's time to dive further into football. We got fourth-year assistant coach Chet Skinner on the show. Coach, congratulations on this win this last weekend. How much does it mean to you to be able to hold on to the hatchet for your first time?
Oh, well, thank you. It's good. Good for the kids, especially that encouragement and confidence moving late into the season, especially just in general with the WAC. It's a good win.
Did you see what happened in the Liberal game on Friday, or have you not seen that yet?
What do you mean?
Just the way the game ended.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was a good game.
Yeah.
Good game to catch.
I was going to say, the one thing that I've noticed is how much better these teams have gotten on the west side of Kansas. I was talking about it with Coach Bailey on earlier this show, this kind of east versus west kind of rivalry. What does it mean for the WAC to kind of be playing as well as it is this year?
Oh, it's definitely good, especially going into playoff time where you have your west side that holds it down in the playoffs and actually makes it run and stuff. Like Manhattan last year, they made a long run and they ended up winning it, so That's always good.
So I want to dive a little bit deeper into the job that you do. Coach Hill has always praised the job that you've done on special teams when I've had him on the show. This last week was definitely a game that I thought was decided on special teams, especially early on. How did you feel things went?
Good. I mean, my number one goal that I try to get the kids to, you know, embrace is, hey, we got to be solid on our front. We can't have a letdown. We got to win every play on our special teams and not, like I said, either cough it up, fumble it, or, you know, have detrimental field position. And I think we've done a pretty good job, especially on our returns, on good returns. We've dropped a couple, haven't fielded a few, but I think that just comes with, you know, throughout the game being tired and not locking it in. But those are easy fixes down the stretch. But as a whole, we've been pretty solid.
Coach Hill told me, especially earlier on in the season, this was the best seat felt because teams are starting to get scared of special teams. With Ethan and Michael, what do those two bring?
Oh, definitely a different dynamic where, you know, if they get the ball moving fast, they have a chance to take it to the house. It definitely makes the kicker have to be aware and mindful of who to kick to, who to not kick to, and how to take in the win then where they need to kick it.
That just reminds me of the kicker in week 3 when he went to pick up the the knob, and he had to come back up and almost tackle Ethan. Tell me, what are the sidelines like when those big run backs happen?
Oh, I can't even lie to you. I'm just watching the whole play. I'm zoned out. But I know everyone around me's hooping and hollering and running. So it's definitely good. That's a spark that we need, especially in that second half when we've been a little sluggish lately, to really get a momentum shift or even keep pushing.
So you're always just really locked in on the sideline.
Try to be. Yeah.
What got you into coaching football?
My dad was a longtime coach. I knew I wanted to stay in the school system, teach, and I thought coaching would be a perfect avenue for that.
We're just talking about your dad actually off air, Oklahoma State guy. Cowboys are starting to turn around this year.
We're doing something. Hopefully we can stay in the right direction.
Yeah, for sure. You were brought on by Coach Hill, obviously. He gets the 8th hatchet win of all time of his tenure, which is now the most of any Buffaloes coach. How much has it meant to you to work under Coach Hill?
Oh, it's been huge. Just thinking here, but prior to coming on, I think coming out to Garden City from where I was in Maxville, just for myself, has been huge to be able to learn from those other coaches on staff, especially Coach Hill, be closer to family back home, be able to be closer to my wife's family back home. And, you know, it's just been huge.
I was going to ask about that. What were some of the biggest things that made you want to move over to Garden City?
Oh, like I said, family, proximity, Coach Hill, my coach from high school, Coach Price, he vouched. And he's like, hey, you have a good opportunity here in Garden with Coach Hill. I'd take it. And, you know, I came in, talked to Coach Hill a couple times, and I was like, yeah, seems like home.
What were some of your first impressions of Coach Hill?
Definitely loyal to the T, do anything for you. Preached family, and that was a big thing, like the closeness of all of us coaches being together and, you know, like a brotherhood, and that's awesome.
I was going to say, what's the biggest thing about you when you're, you know, together with these coaches? What's the biggest thing that you want, that continuity?
The brotherhood, that family. Like, all of us coaches are fairly close, hang out on the weekends or on the weekdays. If we need something easy, call somebody and they'll come help you out.
Who are some of the closest coaches that you're with?
Coach Covington. I'm pretty close with him. Coach Copeland, went to school with both of those guys, so that's always good. Mm-hmm. Coach Moore, Coach Bailey, Coach Wright, come with some of those defensive guys that I first started out with.
Yeah.
Coach Kotzboner. Mm-hmm.
So Coach told me last week, Coach Hill, I should say, told me last week it felt like the best week of practice all year, and then he looked at the analytics, and it was like a great week of practice. Did it feel that way for you?
Yeah, I would agree. I definitely think you can see a shift in the kids' attitudes and just overall focus on a big game. Mm-hmm. And knowing that they have to lock it in, that goes a long way, especially, you know, how we can kind of shift and change them, adapt practice to kind of move that in our favor. But like I said, that analytics from being able to sprint a high day, low day, just being able to be fresh,
yeah,
that goes a long way.
Let me talk about Titan for a second, because that's the program you guys use, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, how cool is that to be able to use those analytics?
Oh, it's definitely huge, especially when you can get, 72 hours rest with a Saturday, Sunday, and then a good portion of Monday, and then really use that weekend and Monday for the brain instead of the body. Just being able to watch film, send out clips, send out cut-ups for what we're going to do to fix last week's mistakes or whatever it may be, and then to help for the upcoming week. So that's huge.
Let's talk about the team shifting mindsets towards these big games. What are some things that really stand out about this year's team?
Good leadership, I would say. I think especially defense, we've had some of our I don't want to say younger guys, but inexperienced guys going into the year have really come along. They're picking things up a little faster. Our schemes, kind of what we're doing, we're picking it up faster, moving with it a little bit more. Our pre-snap communications are getting better. We're getting recognizing formations, shifts, movements. We're doing better at talking through that. Mm-hmm. So we haven't had those errors like we had early in the year.
Is it tough to kind of get a group to communicate in those early stages of the season?
Yes.
How do you kind of get to develop that?
Preach, preach, preach.
Yeah.
It's got to be done. Any good team that will make a run or is solid, especially doesn't matter the level, they are very good at communication, especially pre-snap and the defensive end.
You talk about the leadership within this group. Who are some of those guys that really stand out?
Honestly, they're just a good, solid group of kids. Your quarterback position has got to be tough. Your linebackers, our D-line's been pretty solid. We've been kind of moving guys on the back end. So you like your Ethan Allen, he's been pretty solid on the outside. Finch has been solid. Dibble's played well lately here. Donovan Terrence spared some good reps here with Emilio out, and then getting some rest for offense. And then being able to plug in linebackers like a Javin, Plankenhorn, and Eddie, being able to rotate those guys through. And then Kraus, first year back after his freshman year, just a madman on defense. So, like I said, just, all over the place, good games all across the board.
I was going to say, because Carson – I talked about it with Coach Reich earlier on when I had him on Buff Talk, that, he played his freshman year, took a couple years off, decided he wanted to come back. Did you expect him to be this good?
No, sir. I won't lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
But he is one of the nicest kids. I had this conversation with Coach Bailey, Nate, actually, today. I said, Kraus is just a good guy.
Yeah.
We were walking through some formation stuff. And I said, I like Kraus. I like Kraus, man.
Yeah. I mean, anytime he gets into the backfield, it's fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. he made a play. You tell him good job, he says thank you. He misses a tackle or does something that he shouldn't have done, and you start chewing on him. He just says, I'm sorry, I'll fix it.
And that's
the kind of guy he is.
Let me talk about some of the other guys you mentioned. Donovan had to step in and start this week because Braden was hurt. Mm-hmm. How did you feel that he played?
He played well. Played well holding his own on the outside, especially you could plug him into special teams. He's able to be a plug guy where if we need a guy to run down on kickoff, he's there. If we need a guy to be a safety, he's there. Corner on punt return, he's there. Mm-hmm. So that's a good guy to have.
Where does that come from? Do you know?
Just being a good athlete.
Yeah.
Being able to be teachable, coachable. So
is that something – I feel like a lot of the athletes that you guys have are very coachable. Where does that come from with this group?
I don't know, they all seem to have a good sense of humility and mm-hmm. being adaptable. And I think all of them will just want to play. Doesn't matter what they do, they just want to be on the field and play. So if they are given a shot, they're going to try to maximize that opportunity.
Now, of course, it's your fourth year on staff. A lot of these players were participating in senior night festivities. Take me through what this group has done for this younger class. You know, this senior group, how have they been able to lead?
Off the field, they've done a good job of setting the example of just being good guys. Something that you don't have to worry about off the field. Like, they're going to handle their business. They're going to be good in the classroom. They're going to be good upstairs, at home. You know, never have to be an issue.
It's going to be tough to say goodbye to these kids.
Yeah, it is every year. It doesn't matter if you win all your games, you lose your last one. It doesn't matter. It's always tough to lose seniors.
So I want to dive a little bit more into this Hatch game, because I talked about how much of this game I think could have been decided by special teams. Opening 3-4 minutes of the game, Emilio blocks the punt, first one all season. Take me through that.
That was huge. We kind of put in this week a holdup, and I said, Emilio, I'm giving you the green light. I trust you to get a play. So I said, we're going to go holdup, and if we go holdup, we're just going to try to match up man for man. And you toy with how you want to go, but once you go, get after it. And I think you could get one from how their stance alignment and then the punter's depth. So I said, hey, go get it, man. I trust you. And I was watching Ethan on the back, making sure he was at a good depth. And I turned and I looked and I would just watch the punter. And then we actually left a guy free. And then all of a sudden I see him get hands on it and I just heard it. And I said, oh, heck yeah, let's go.
Where does the trust come from, Emilio? How come he trusted him in that moment?
Senior. He's played. He's played a lot of snaps. He was on specials. So I got to work with him quite a bit last year. This year, like I said, he's a plug guy. He started out at a couple positions on specials at the beginning of the year, and then kind of with the wear and tear of offense, you need him fresh, kind of pulled him off and started plugging Donovan in there. And like I said, just I've been with him for my fourth year, his fourth year. And so got that trust with him, and I'm happy that he made a play. He's skilled.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's done so many great things for this team. Tell me, how important is that when you have a senior who's willing to lay it all on the line?
Oh, huge, huge. Where he's a guy that you don't have to, complain about. If he's hurt, he's hurt. If he's not, he's going to play.
Now, second punt that they had was, I believe it was the second one, the one that kind of caught the wind, went all the way back to the goal line, then Colden punched it out. Take me through what you saw on that play.
We had a good return. We had a good fan out on our punt. Got down there. Colden punched it out, and we were able to pick it up. One of those ones where, like we're always preaching, we gotta steal an opportunity. We can't lose one for our own team. And when we do that, just with the analytics of football, every chance you get an extra possession, your percentage, your odds go up to win. And I'm like, this is definitely in our favor after that.
You talk about a good fan out. What separates, a good fan out from an okay one? Like, what are some things that you saw on that?
Kind of an eagerness to get down the field. Like, we put a lot of emphasis on we need to attack. And that's got to be our mindset through all the aspects of specials. We don't need to be on our heels. We need to be going. And that we've really, really shifted that in the last 2 years. Like, we're flying down the field, wanting to be fast. Playing fast is hard to defend, especially on a punt return. So we were able to get down the field, fan out, avoid contact, avoid blocks. And Plankenhorn just made a good play. Like, he made a handful of good plays in that game.
Yeah, I was going to talk about him next. You mentioned some of the younger guys really stepping up on this team later on there. I mean, this is someone who's been doing it from the first week of the season. He's playing out of position in this game, having to fill in on the line sometimes, playing a little bit of safety. 3 turnovers that he forces or gets credit for in this game. I mean, you ever seen a sophomore step up and play like that out of position?
No, not very often. And, after the game, in the game, you knew that he had made a couple plays, but afterwards you sit back and you kind of look as you're watching film and you're starting to stat it, you're like, oh, wow, he played his brains out. Just play after play, right position. He played that overhang for Dibble since he was out this last week. And, I jokingly told linebackers coach Nate Bailey, I said, hey, he's mine from now on at the safety position. I'm taking him.
Take me through what the energy was like. I mean, you guys go up 23-0 in that first half. Describe me what the sideline was like.
Oh, it was huge. It was huge. And we knew that we would have to sustain that, especially against a rival in the hatchet game, let alone. And we had to keep moving forward, so to speak. And we had a couple things go wrong for us in the third quarter at the start. But, you know, things happen. No one's going to play a perfect game. Mm-hmm. And we were able to battle through that adversity, come out on top. And that's huge.
I did want to dive a little bit into that. So second half comes around. You got to kick against the wind.
Mm-hmm.
Get a couple of three and outs. You can't get those punts past midfield. Now, I feel like Eddie's a great punter normally, but how frustrating was it knowing that, you know, you were just battling the elements?
That field position was huge. I think that's kind of what we played against when we were at Hayes. We were on that north end of the field most of the game. And then we were able to steal a possession, and I'm referring to Hayes, with Sneath's catch on mm-hmm. our sideline that kind of put us over the hump to get us that first score. So that was kind of huge for us whenever we did the same thing in that late third quarter, early fourth quarter, where we were able to get past. And granted, the wind kind of died down. But, yeah, that's a burden that we had to play with for mm-hmm. sure, being able to battle through that on, you know, do you want the ball at the beginning? Do you want the win in the first half? Just one of those things that, yeah, another element to deal with.
You're talking about the deflected catch of the Hayes game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like one of a bunch of crazy plays I can name off this season. Is there a play that you remember this year that was just like, oh my God, how did that happen? Good or bad?
Good or bad. Let's see here. You know, brought up Emilio. Emilio's, I think it was a reverse or something at Ulysses, where he caught the ball, looked like it was going to be probably a 4 or 5 yard loss.
Yeah, I remember this one now.
Going to the home sideline, cuts it back against the grain, makes it one or two dudes miss in the middle of the field, takes it to our sideline, and it was probably like a 3rd and 12, mm-hmm. like down deep into our end. And I said, that's impressive.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
He's had a couple of crazy plays. I feel like the first two road games, the Heights game and the Hayes game, he just made something happen late on in the game. So I feel like there's been a bunch of crazy plays. Going back to the Hatch game, there was a crazy play late on. It seemed had a punt blocked. Where did things go wrong on that play?
Once again, with the win, so being mindful of the snap on how you got to get it back there. I think he short-armed it, got on the ground. Eddie kind of muffed it, bobbled it too, and then couldn't get off a good step to get the ball kicked. Once again, hatchet game, man. Just not going to play a perfect game. Mm-hmm. And one of those things, once again, into the wind. So it's just it is what it is.
Did you notice Eddie was a little frustrated after the first couple punts? Maybe didn't go his way because of the weather? Or?
Yeah, and I told him, I said, hey, man, we're just going to start aiming for me on that sideline, try to angle it down. If you can punch it deep, that'd be better than trying to get up in the air and let the wind catch it. So I said, we'll just have to, you know, it is what it is tonight.
And obviously you started this interview kind of talking about how special it was for the kids. To see the students storm the field, teams taking photos of the hatchet after the game, how much joy does that bring you as a coach?
Oh, awesome. Like anytime your kids can be excited and happy for something, you've done a good job. Mm-hmm. And like especially a hatchet win, any win, but a rivalry at home in front of all the fans on senior night, that's huge.
Let me ask this question. It's a very broad one, so if you want to take some time.
Okay.
What is the reason that you coach?
The kids. You know, I've got two kids at home, one on the way, but I feel like I have a lot of kids. Like when I was at Maxville, when I'm here, like I know a lot of kids. I enjoy getting to meet and grow with a lot of kids, and then, you know, just helping kids out. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's an unbelievable answer. So you guys get ready to gear up for the playoffs. Of course, you got an opportunity to share the WAC this week with a win at Great Bend. What are some of the things that Coach Hill really wants the team to focus on this week?
Just controlling what we can control, taking care of our business, trying to play more of a perfect game than we did in the prior weeks. You know, just doing what we can do.
And then last but not least, played Great Bend last year, came up a little short. What are some things you want to do differently from last year's game?
A few things. We once again talked about playing a good game, limiting turnovers, limiting missed tackles, alignments, assignments on defense go a long way. I think we had a few blunders down there last year. Once again, not giving up the ball on special teams. I think we had one punt blocked last year. The guy just slipped around our shield, you know, got hands. Hyman made a heck of a play trying to get it off. But once again, that field position turn is huge. And then, you know, taking care of the ball on offense. You know, if you're only given five drives, being able to score all five times, that's huge. So when we get the ball, being able to score, and when we defense comes out on field, being able to get a quick three and out can stay fresh.
Coach, thank you so much for your time. Best of luck to close the season against Great Bend.
Hey, thank you.
That'll do it for another edition of Buff Talk here live from Old Chicago. Just give you a little refresh of what's coming up this week. Garden City High School, Garden City High School Buffaloes volleyball team will host sub-states this weekend. They will take on Wichita Southeast at 2 o'clock on Saturday. If they win that game, they will take on the winner of Wichita Hayesville Campus and Topeka with a chance to move on to states. And, of course, the Garden City High School Buffaloes football team on the road this week against Great Bend. A win, they would share the WAC title and potentially host a playoff game. Thank you so much to Old Chicago for hosting this edition of Buff Talk. Thank you so much to volleyball head coach Trista Bailey, football assistant coach Chet Skinner, and football center Andrew Marino for coming on the show. And a special thank you to Colin Love, who's back in the KWKR 99.9 The Rock studio, for board hopping this for me. I'm Ben Cal Friedman saying so long. Thank you so much for tuning me. This has been a special edition of Buff Talk here on KWKR 99.9 The Rock, live from Old Chicago. Have a great rest of your Monday night and enjoy the rest of your work week.
You've been listening to Buff Talk, live from Old Chicago in Garden City. Buff Talk, a presentation of Western Kansas Broadcast Center Sports.